Well, welcome everyone to your City Hall. It is Tuesday, March 11, 2025, and it is 6 p.m. I'm going to call the City of Iowa City meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Alter.
Here.
Burgess.
Here.
Harmson.
Here.
Moe.
Here.
Saleh.
Yeah.
Teague.
Here. I want to again welcome everyone that is here in person and anyone that is joining us virtually. Welcome to you as well. We're going to move on to proclamations. 2A is Save Soil Day. Whereas Save Soil is a global movement launched by Sadhguru, uniting world leaders, visionaries, influencers, and residents of all nations behind a common purpose to restore and safeguard the world's soil. And whereas Save Soil aims to address the global soil crises, recognizing that 52% of the world's agricultural soils are already degraded, and by 2050, 90% of Earth's soil could be degraded. And whereas addressing soil degradation, there we go, issues would bring solutions for the loss of biodiversity, nutritional deficiencies, food security, water scarcity, climate change, and mass migration. And whereas the proposed solution is to advocate for policies across all nations towards soil restoration and aim to increase organic matter in agricultural soil to a minimum of 3 to 6%. And whereas in March 2022, in an effort to raise awareness and activate support from leaders and community members alike, Sadhguru undertook a 30,000 kilometer journey as a lone motorcyclist covering 27 nations across 100 days. Now, therefore, I, Bruce Teague, Mayor of Iowa City, do hereby proclaim March 21st, 2025 to be Save Soil Day in Iowa City and urge all community members to be a part of the Save Soil movement to support national policies towards soil restoration, aim to raise the organic matter of soil to a minimum of 3 to 6%, and participate in celebrating and creating bright futures for our children and the future of our planet, as soil is vital to all. And accepting this proclamation is Rami Lauda.
Good evening, Mayor, Council Members, City Staff, and my fellow Iowans. My name is Rami Lode, and I'm here as a volunteer with the nonprofit Conscious Planet. Today I'm here to talk about soil, and I know most of you are wondering why we are trying to save soil given that we live on a giant mud ball. Well, I had similar thoughts when I first heard about this movement, but later realized that the experts are talking about cultivable soil. That is the soil that is suitable to grow food in. If the organic content in soil dies, it essentially turns into sand, and we can grow food in sand. In 2020, the United Nations estimated that we have roughly 50 to 60 years of agriculture left on this planet. If we continue to maintain the status quo, by 2045, we will be producing 40% less food than what we are producing today, while the global population is estimated to grow from 8 to 9.3 billion people. So that's food production going down and human population going up. Certainly not a balanced equation. It is not just about the quantity, but also about the quality. Our grandparents got as much nutrition from one orange as we do today from 8 oranges. This is clearly evident in the rising cases of nutrition and vitamin deficiency compromising our immune system and impacting our overall well-being. Soil degradation is costing the U.S. approximately $45 billion annually. The good news is that the soil crisis is reversible, provided we act with a sense of urgency to increase the content, organic content of soil to a minimum of 3 to 6%. Save Soil is backed by the United Nations Environment Program, UN Food and Agricultural Organization, amongst others. Thank you so much for taking the time to for making the Save Soil Proclamation here in Iowa City, like many other cities across the U.S., including our neighbor Coralville. I humbly request you to use your voice and available platforms to spread awareness about saving our soil, because if the people talk about it, only then will the leaders of our nation make policy changes. My fellow Iowans can visit savesoil.org and sign up to be Earth Buddies, and then spend a few minutes to post us on social media some information they learned from that site, and use the hashtag SaveSoil. No money or donations are needed. Since last year, we had several events in our community to raise awareness of the soil crisis and continue to do so. For example, upcoming, this is the next event that's coming up, is the screening of the Common Ground educational documentary at the University of Iowa, Iowa Theater. So you can scan the QR code if you wish, and there'll be flyers also later. There were also people stopping by at the Asian Festival and learned a lot about the Save Soil movement. Yeah, this is at the July 4th Coralville Parade, July 4th Parade. Again, a lot of people were exposed to the Save Soil movement, and more people are learning about it. And we ended the year with a handprints for soil awareness in December, where we were especially targeting the next generation, because this is a much bigger problem for them than most of us adults. But nevertheless, we hope to continue spreading the message and look forward to everyone's support on this. So save soil, let's make it happen, and go Hawks.
Right. Thank you. We're going to move on to our next proclamation, which is 2B, Transgender Day of Visibility. Whereas transgender individuals across the United States and around the world face unique challenges in achieving equality and acceptance. And whereas the City of Iowa City recognizes the dignity and rights of all individuals, regardless of gender identity, and strives to create a more inclusive, equitable, and just society for all people. And whereas on Friday, February 28, 2025, the state of Iowa removed gender identity from the list of protected classes under the Iowa Civil Rights Act, which has left all transgender Iowans vulnerable to discrimination in education, credit, housing, employment, and public accommodations. And whereas the removal of gender identity from civil rights protections has heightened the importance of ongoing advocacy and support for transgender individuals and communities in Iowa. And whereas March 31st, 2025 marks the observance of Transgender Day of Visibility, a day to celebrate the lives and contributions of transgender individuals, raise awareness about the struggles they face, and honor those who have been lost to violence, discrimination, and hardship. And whereas Transgender Day of Visibility provides an opportunity to highlight the diverse experiences of transgender individuals, acknowledge their accomplishments, and commit to continuing the fight for full equality and acceptance for all members of the transgender community, including advocating for the restoration of civil rights protections for gender identity. And whereas the City of Iowa City stands in solidarity with transgender individuals and the efforts to live authentically and to ensure their rights are respected and protected. Now, therefore, I, Bruce Teague, Mayor of Iowa City, do hereby proclaim March 31st, 2025 to be Transgender Day of Visibility in Iowa City. And I encourage all Iowans to take part in this important day of reflection, advocacy, and celebration of the transgender community, and to continue pushing for legislative efforts to restore gender identity as a protected class under Iowa's Civil Rights Act. And accepting this proclamation are a few individuals, and I'll state all of their names at this time. And when you all come up, you can still state your name. But we'll have Rowan, James, Alyssa Tomchik, Emily Brown, and Myesha Miller.
I just want to say thank you so much, Mayor Teague, and like everyone here, of course. I just think it's so important. It's being hard. It's really hard being trans, especially in today's climate. I mean, everywhere. It just kind of feels like one by one, a lot of safe spaces are being taken away, and one by one, states are just. Everything is just on the decline, really, for us at the moment. And so it's really uplifting and kind of emotional in a good way that that you guys are still like fighting for us so heavily, and like seeing such strong advocacy, such outspoken advocacy for like our community. It's really great seeing you guys work. So thank you so much. I really do appreciate it.
Hello, I'm Emily Brown. I'm here with the rest of the youth today. And growing up, I'm like most Iowans. I grew up in a small town. I had small town virtues and everything. And I had never met another trans person, but I've been trans my whole life. And it seems more and more today we become invisible. And it seems there's not a lot of representation on top of the false representation in media today. And it means a lot to me that none of you being trans yourself could care so much and begin to understand some things that people higher up in Iowa can't and people higher up in our country can't. It means a lot to me that you guys fight for these things despite not having your own section of transgender, like city council members, because that shows real equity, that shows real progression, and that shows the real America we want to live in one day. I think it's so important now that, sorry, I think it's so important now that we're becoming invisible as a country for Iowa City to be still celebrating the culture and the individuality of each person, trans, straight, cis, any of it. I've never been more proud to live in Iowa City, despite how the higher ups in Iowa may be. And I think it's a great place for things like this to happen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. Do you want to go before me?
Sure.
Okay, I just need more time to think.
Hello, my name is Alicia. I grew up in a small town in Florida. Unfortunately, because of that, I had a very rough upbringing being trans. I would look in the mirror every day and wonder why I couldn't be the opposite sex. It tanked my self-esteem in a way that I feel I'm unable to even describe. This recognition of Transgender Day of Visibility by Iowa City has shown to me that this new place that I live is willing to fight for me in a way that I have never experienced before. This is incredibly important to ensure that trans people feel safe in their community, and I would like to thank you all for that opportunity for me to feel safe and for others like me to feel safe in the community that we are in.
Sorry about before. My name is Misha. I grew up not knowing my gender identity. Of course, I know what I was born as, but I've always felt different. I've never felt like other kids my age, where it's like, I like dresses, of course I do. Everyone likes feeling pretty, but I've always preferred to dress like my brothers. I've preferred to be roughhousing. I prefer to be messing with my siblings instead of out in gardens or whatever traditionally feminine things you can think of. I came out as trans when I was 10, 11 years old to my family. Growing up, I was on media a lot, seeing how I explored myself. I found the trans male label for myself, and I've grown up in a community with all these amazing people, my friends, my family, who have been supporting me through this. I went to the Capitol fighting for my rights as a trans person to be seen, to be heard, and to be cared about, even though our government may not see that currently, but I know you do. I know you care, and I know that's why you're speaking about this now. After it was passed, I didn't know how to feel. I cried to my mother. I was begging. I was upset. Why do they not care about us? It's just a difference of opinion. It may not be my opinion. It may not be their opinion. It might not be anyone's opinion in this room. But everyone's different. I hope that they change their mind. I hope that they can see that all of us are people. Race, ethnicity, gender, sexuality, that doesn't matter. We're all people. And in Iowa, I hope they come to learn that all of us are a community. We are a state. And I am proud to be here with my friends, my family. And I just hope, that you as a council understand how proud we are of you for taking this into account, taking us into account, and being there to represent us. Thank you.
Thank you. We love and celebrate each of you, so thank you for coming. I wanted to acknowledge we do have a new deputy city clerk that is with us right now, Ulyssa Vargas. So welcome to council. It's your first meeting, so I wanted to acknowledge that. We're going to move on to our consent agenda, items 3 through 8. Can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Harmson.
No.
Second. Oh.
By Mo.
Mo. All right. Seconded by Sala. Anyone from the public like to address items 3 through 8? If you're online and you want to chime in, please raise your virtual hand. Seeing no one in person or online, council discussion.
I just want to bring up the 7B, which is the motion setting a public hearing for Governor Street. We're already receiving questions, I think, to our council email about that. I would appreciate, if possible, if we could get some advanced, perhaps an IP, in the IP information packet, information on what R3B zoning is, because that is kind of part of the decision making for this upcoming zoning decision. It's a very complicated thing. We aren't looking at all of our current zoning plans. We're looking at a more complicated thing with lots of legal history.
Happy to do so.
Here are no other comments. Roll call, please.
Teague?
Yes.
Alter?
Yes.
Burgess?
Yes.
Harmson?
Yes.
Moe?
Yes.
Sala?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0. Item number 9 is community comment. This is an opportunity for the public to come on items that are not on our agenda. Because this hasn't been properly noticed, we will not be able to engage in discussion. And only in-person comments will be allowed. And you'll be allowed 3 minutes. So welcome. Please state your name and city you're from. Yes.
Great, it works. Hi, my name is Dr. Emma Denny. You all know me by now. You heard from trans youth today how much it matters that this council fight for them. How much it matters that you stand up when their state has gone after them with genuinely unprecedented threats. The law that Iowa just passed is the first time in the history of our country that rights have been stripped away from people. And I am here today to ask you a question. What are you going to do? When these kids are renting apartments in the future and their landlords say, no, sorry, you're trans, try elsewhere. What are you going to do? When they get fired from their jobs for being who they are, when I get fired from my job for being who I am, what are you going to do? You signed a Trans Day of Visibility proclamation today. Visibility without protection just puts a target on our backs, a target that actual fascists have gladly taken up. We have a word for people who enable fascists, and it's fascist. What are you going to do? I have a couple of ideas. We feel isolated here in Iowa. We feel forgotten by groups like the ACLU and other national organizations who are meant to fight for us but feel that the legal ground in this state isn't viable for them. We can direct our city attorney to be part of this fight. We can join this fight as a city. It's our duty, frankly, as every citizen, to stand up for people when fascists come after them. So what are you going to do? I came here a year ago today, well, not today, but a year ago this proclamation, saying the same thing. What are you going to do? And we got words, we got singing at the Capitol, and I lost my civil rights. The state gave you a timeline. It's July 1. This law comes into effect. So what are you going to do? Thanks.
Thank you. Oops. Welcome.
Hello.
Please state your name and city you're from, and there is a sign in.
Yeah, I already signed in earlier here.
Thank you.
I'm Bill Gerhardt. I live at 51304 Rabbit Creek Road. I've been a longtime resident of Iowa City. I came earlier for the work session and saw two presentations by developers who want to develop 21 Lynn Street. They're both great presentations. I come from the construction industry, and for 14 years I was president of the Iowa State Building and Construction Trades Council. I like both presentations, but what I'm going to like more is to find out if they're going to use local building tradesmen and women, if they're going to pay a living wage, and if they're going to utilize registered apprentice programs. I was here when the Rise was built down off of Court Street, and I watched while an out-of-state contractor used out-of-state workers to build that, and I happened to be there on the outside of the property during a job action day when the tower crane lifted a bundle of plywood over the sidewalk and on Court Street, and it wasn't rigged right, and the sheets of plywood came off like a deck of cards and landed on the sidewalk. Now, no one was hurt, but it was a public sidewalk, and I just think that we have to, if we use local people, local building tradesmen and women, pay them a living wage, make sure they use our apprentice programs, we're going to get a safer project and a more economic impact here in Iowa City. So I'm actually excited by what I saw in the workstation. I think that's a great use for 21 Lynn Street. So thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Welcome. That thing is always so tall. Hi, my name's Storma Brink, and I work in Iowa City. Most of you already know me. This isn't my first time coming in here. You know that I'm a trans activist in town. You know that I'm on the board for the Iowa Trans Mutual Aid Fund. And the question that I have for you right now is, are you serious? We accosted you multiple times in the spring, last spring, a year ago, in mass, about doing concrete actions that will protect the trans community. Concrete actions. And you're issuing another proclamation, which, while the sentiment is nice, and we do appreciate that, it functionally does nothing to protect trans people in Iowa City during a time where we are actively being targeted by state and federal government. We saw no movement from this council in protecting trans people, and things got significantly worse since last spring. Some of you were at the Capitol and witnessed it. We no longer have our civil rights. We have an impending bathroom ban. They've revoked our right to have accurate identification documents. Several of my friends cannot get their passports returned due to their gender markers being changed and are effectively trapped inside the country. Marco Rubio issued a guidance that restricts transgender travelers from obtaining visas to the United States. The Department of Homeland Security removed restrictions on surveilling people exclusively because of their sexual orientation and gender identity. And while, yes, many of these things are at the state or federal level, these are all things that you can do concrete things to protect us about. Guys, you already have a target on your back. I know you said that you could do nothing last spring to protect us from local law enforcement targeting us because you feared it would result in the state taking away the funding for the city. You're worried that they're going to take away city funding if you stand up for us, and we're worried that they're going to erase us, to ban us from public life, to take away our access to health care, and to kill us. And they are already on the pathway to do that. That is happening. Form a committee about it. Talk to your trans constituents. I will reiterate myself that we are willing to accept any concrete action. You have my email, some of you. You know how to contact me. You know who I am. Just talk to us. We are your constituents. If you want to support us, you need to be brave, which means that you need to disrupt. And that's what allyship looks like. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you have a sticker to put in the basket or your name? Yep. Thank you. Yep. Welcome. Please state your name and city you're from.
Good evening. My name is Rain Apple. My wife Marlene and I live here in 2438 Walden Court. Had the privilege of serving as a city of mayor in the small town of Templeton for two terms. So I know what government is all about, and I think government needs to take a little lesson here. I was here on June 20th, 21st, to presentation in regard to the sidewalk settling, the street settling, and 24 of the condo owners. 48 days passed, and I heard nothing from our city officials, which is sad. This isn't the way government is supposed to work. The election was November 5th. It's time to dig the bones and start working for the people. It's disgusting to have to come back here and do a dog and pony show just to get something done. It's not right. We received 2 inches of water, rain this last 2 weeks. Today, 23 out of those 26 condos have street settling in front of them. 10 of the condos have water settling after the 2-inch rain. The street is settling. Our sidewalk has settled 2 inches in the last 6 years. I presented everything to the city council. I give them a 20-page book to review prior to the meeting. It contained everything that happened in the last 6 years, and I didn't even get a thank you. Pauline Taylor was here on my behalf. I reached out to her several years ago. I called her on a Saturday, and I said, "When could you come?" She said, "How about in 2 hours? I wish I could get that from our existing government today. Maybe she should be on the board. Maybe we'd get better representation to take care of our citizens and our people. It's really sad. We got a ordinance that says the grass cannot grow longer than 10 inches. The grass is 19, 20 inches tall in the area around us. We take nothing to pick up the dead trees. The dead trees have laid along Rohort Road for a year and a half. It's disgusting. Marlene and I walk up to Weber every day in the summer, and it's disgusting to see that the city doesn't take any more pride than that. I also went out to Mid-American Basement in 2019 to try and get the sidewalk issue alleviated. They sent me a copy of the concrete book. I called them back the other week and sent me 5, so you can have your personal copy, and hopefully you can take it home and review it and get a better education of what it's all about in the concrete world. I shouldn't have to come up here every month to plead your case. I've done what you've done. I received the Governor's Leadership Award when I was mayor of the city of Templeton in the two terms. You don't get that by sitting on your behind. And you shouldn't have to be an ostrich and be on the city council and stick your head in the sand when you don't
like
it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
Closing comment.
I did try to get him extended. Sorry. Yep. Thank you. Did you sign in or have a sticker? If you can place a sticker or sign the document, please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak? Thank you.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Please state your name and city you're from, and did you sign
yes,
in?
Yes, I did.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't come down here very often, but yes. My name is Chad Campion. I live at 3015 Pinecrest Road in Iowa City, which is in District B. I'm a sixth-generation resident of Iowa City. I am also a union electrician. I've built a lot of the buildings that are here in Iowa City. And currently I work for the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 405. We have 1,200 electricians doing business in the corridor between Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. We were chartered in 1907 when they built McBride Hall. So we've been here for a while. My office is at 105 Iowa Avenue above Iowa Book, so stop by and say hi. I was here for both presentations today of the lot on Lynn Street. It's funny, I always remember it as the First National Bank drive-thru. I was kind of surprised. I didn't realize that the two different proposals were drastically different. I think like in their aims and all this kind of stuff and everything. And I heard one of the presenters mention local, you know, and it's funny how local can take on a lot of different shapes. What my impression of local as being might be different than yours. And, you know, I used to define it as, well, you pay taxes in Iowa City, you're local, or your kids go to school in Iowa City, you're local, or this or that. But I think it takes on many shapes or forms. But I guess what I'm getting at, I want to echo what Bill was saying earlier. We take local different ways, and I would encourage you to encourage them to build local. It's one thing to hire a contractor who lives down the street from you or whatever, this and that. That doesn't mean he hires local people. You know, my best advice would be, there's always construction going on in Iowa City, all over the place, the schools, the university, this and that. Walk through one of the jobs, walk around one of the jobs, stop by the general contractor's trailer, look at the license plates, and see if they're local. Are they hiring local people to build these buildings? We get so far with the local thing and then it just falls off. We have a lot of problems with people that don't pay benefits on employees and this and that. It's happening in Iowa City. So I guess I would just echo what Bill was saying. Plus I would add you the extra local. You know, I built a lot of these buildings in Iowa City. I'm very proud of those. And being in the trades is a great thing, and it's given me a lot of opportunities, and I want to share that with everybody else and make Iowa City great. So thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address a topic item that is not on our agenda? Welcome. Please state your name and city you're from.
My name is Cole Eckhart, 3000 Parkview Avenue, Iowa City. Just to kind of echo what they've been kind of talking about. You know, the city already funds a pre-apprenticeship program to show its dedication to hiring local workers, union workers for these type of jobs. And so I think that this is like a great opportunity for you guys to just further show your dedication to that, to make sure that we're hiring locally so that like we can get apprentices like me and you know, other people within the union building trades to get these jobs so that we can get them built safely and properly and help educate apprentices and further their work experience so that they can continue to thrive. So, yeah, that's just what I wanted to say.
Thank you. And you did sign in earlier as well. Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to address the item that is not on our agenda? Seeing no one, I'm going to close our community comment time. Thanks to everyone that came to speak. Thank you. All right, we're going to move on to our regular agenda, our regular formal agenda 10. And 10A is building code update. Ordinance amending Title 17, Chapter 1, Building Code by adopting the International Building Code 2024 edition, including Appendix K, and the International Residential Code 2024 edition, including Appendix BE and Appendix BO, and providing for certain amendments thereof and adopting Section 103.6 of the Code of Iowa and Section 105.4 of the Code of Iowa to provide for the protection of the health, welfare, and safety of the residents of Iowa City. I'm going to open the public hearing and welcome Danielle.
Thank you, Mayor. Danielle Sisman, Neighborhood and Development Services. You always get to read the fun descriptions. Thank you for doing that.
Yes.
tonight we're here to adopt the three-year update to the iCodes. The ICC is an organization that adopts model codes or promulgates model code, which the city then adopts. The city adopts a model code rather than create our own, as do most jurisdictions in the country. The iCodes, as I said, are developed on a three-year cycle, so this is a three-year update to that. The 3 years the refresh of the codes allows for expertise of hundreds of building and safety experts across the country, allows us to capture lessons learned from prior disaster events and new building science, as well as climate research and new technologies and practices. I think you heard about some of those new technologies and practices during your work session when mass timber was brought up as a building technique. Mass timber is one of those new materials that this version of the iCodes actually incorporates and makes an acceptable building material, rather than maybe being proposed as a new material and having to go through an extra process. This makes it a standard practice. Included in your packet tonight is a memo from Tim Hennis, our senior building inspector, which highlights the notable changes between the last version, the 2021 version, and this version, which is the 2024 edition of the code. There are very few significant changes. They were outlined in his memo. They're mostly just local amendments that simply maintain our existing practices. One of those existing practices is a segment where we've adopted universal design standards. We call them visitability standards, basically ensuring that homes are set up from the beginning to allow adaptations for people with mobility impacts to continue to live in their homes. So we have done that for a long time and continue to do that as practice here. So I said maintaining those existing practices. The proposed changes were developed in collaboration with other jurisdictions in our area in the Iowa City and Cedar Rapids corridor to ensure that there's consistency between different jurisdictions so that builders and contractors working in different jurisdictions know what to expect. We've also informed our local home builders association of these code changes. And the Board of Appeals at their public meeting on February 7th voted to recommend them as well. So Tim's here with me. If you have any specific questions, following me will be another agenda item to address the fire code. So I'm happy to answer questions if you have any.
Just had one quick question, and that would be, I know different jurisdictions deal with the state code specifically related to energy, accessibility, plumbing, and like, for example, the accessibility code, we do not adopt that section in IBC. Some jurisdictions do, but there's an overlap. Let's just talk through the reasoning behind that.
The reasoning behind that is that the federal government hands down the accessibility standards to the state hands it down to the local. And what we've chose to do over the last 30 years is to not interject another layer in there and to just amend that out and go with what the state says, which is what the federal says. So if you design and build to the federal standards and state standards, you're good with us.
Yeah.
So we just don't want to add that another layer.
It's
in there.
It's just a duplication that we're not choosing to participate in.
To play that, yeah.
No, I'm familiar with it being that way since as long as I've been in Iowa City. So anyway, just a thing that was worth putting in the public.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Anyone from the public like to address this topic? If you're online, please raise your virtual hand. Seeing no one in person or online, I'm going to close the public hearing.
Can I get a motion to approve for or to give first consideration?
So moved, Mo.
Second, Burgess.
Council discussion. Roll call, please.
Alter.
Yes.
Burgess.
Yes.
Harmson.
Yes.
Mo.
Yes.
Silla.
Yes.
Teague.
Yes. Motion passes 6-0. We're on to item 10B, fire code update. Ordinance amending Title VII, Chapter 1, Fire Prevention and Protection by adopting the 2024 edition of the International Fire Code to regulate and govern the safeguarding of life and property from fire, explosion, life safety risks, or health hazards. I'm going to open the public hearing and welcome.
Good evening, Council. Troy Roth, Iowa City Fire Department. I am your fire marshal. Tonight, I bring you an ordinance moving the city from the 2021 International Fire Code to the 2024 International Fire Code. The International Fire Code is an I-code developed by the International Code Council. These model codes are published on a three-year cycle. The proposed ordinance includes the most recent edition of the International Fire Code, along with local amendments. These local amendments reflect a new level of collaboration between the metro area fire marshals to create continuity in our communities. The cities of Iowa City, Coralville, North Liberty, and Tiffin have taken efforts to closely align our local fire code amendments so that a contractor is less likely to find different rules in different towns. The International Fire Code and the International Building Code refer to each other, and for that reason, Iowa City has always tried to keep each code on the same cycle. Your packet includes a memo detailing notable changes. Very few significant changes went into this code. The Board of Appeals, at their public hearing on February the 7th, 2025, voted to recommend approval of the ordinance as proposed. State law requires a public hearing on the adoption of a model code. Staff is recommending the adoption of the 2024 edition of the International Fire Code, along with local amendments. A copy of the ordinance and the International Fire Code are on file in the city clerk's office.
Any questions?
Yeah, I noticed in your memo that the updated fire code does address batteries.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about certain risks of them and how buildings might look different?
This is the first time it's been addressed. Clearly, as a city and as a nation, we support the use of battery-powered mobility, whether it's the micro-mobility or cooler up the cars and our buses. However, fires do happen with the lithium-ion batteries, and it mostly happens during the charging. So this specifically safeguards multifamily residences, the apartment complexes, and puts some rules on where they can be charged and how. Special protections on rooms made to charge mobility devices. Nothing in the code restricts the use of the devices. It simply tries to safeguard life during the charging of these in apartment complexes.
Thank you.
There are no other questions. Thank you. Anyone from the public like to address this topic? Please raise your virtual hand if you're online. Seeing no one in person or online, I'm going to close the public hearing. Could I get a motion to give first consideration?
So moved. Alter.
Second, Saleh.
Council discussion. Roll call, please.
Burgess.
Yes.
Harmson.
Yes.
Mo.
Yes.
Silla.
Yes.
Teague.
Yes.
Alter.
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0. We're on to item 10C. 11.3 million general obligation bonds. Resolution instituting proceedings to take additional action for the issuance of not to exceed 11.3 million general obligation bonds of the City of Iowa City, State of Iowa. I'm going to open the public hearing and welcome.
Hi, Jacqueline Flagel, Assistant Finance Director. So I'm going to cover five items, 10C through 10G. The five items covered, the first four are public hearings that will allow for the next steps of issuing our GO bond, and then the last item being a resolution authorizing the GO bond pre-tax levy. Just to go over a quick timeline of the whole bond process, the last meeting is when you set the hearing for today, where we'll go over those four public hearings and then the pre-levy authorization. The next steps would then to be our bond rating call with Moody's April 14th, followed by your April 15th meeting resolutions to direct advertisement for the sale of the bonds and to approve the official statement. May 6th, we will receive and open the bids, followed by the resolution authorizing issuance of bonds, and then we would plan to close the sale of the bonds on June 3rd. Here is listed the 2025 GO bond projects. You would have seen all of these as part of the bond process so far. And then below these noted amounts are just the bond proceeds portion of the projects. Some of them have extra expenses, but these are just the bond portion. The four projects listed with asterisks at the end are general corporate purpose. So those have to have separate resolutions. And the state limit for general corporate purpose bonds is $1,335,100, which is why we have the three extra hearings there. And you'll also notice that if you do the math and add up all of these numbers here, it does not actually add up to the $14,535,100 noted on the first slide. The difference is related to the bond issuance costs there for that small difference. So as I noted, all of those projects were included as part of the amended budget and five-year CIP. Incorporated into current and future tax levy projections, and then our bonds are sold as part of a competitive bidding process. This covers items 10C through 10G on the agenda. Any questions?
How much does the state of the current economy affect the sales of bonds? Have we seen a big fluctuation in times when the economy is doing poorly? And my guess is that the bonds actually do better when the market's doing poorly, but I don't know that.
Usually that's when we kind of rely on our municipal advisor to kind of tell us how, like what they're seeing with bids that are going out. I think the biggest effect would be interest rates that come back on the bonds we issue.
All right, thank you. Anyone from the public like to address this topic? If you're online, please raise your virtual hand. Seeing no one online or in person, I'm going to close the public hearing. Could I get a motion to approve, please?
I'll move, Saleh.
Second, Mo.
Council discussion? Roll call, please.
Armson?
Yes.
Mo?
Yes.
Saleh?
Yes.
Teague?
Yes.
Alter?
Yes.
Burgess?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0. 10D, we have one. $1,335,100 general obligation bonds, resolution instituting proceedings to take additional action for the issuance of not to exceed $1,335,100 general obligation bonds of the City of Iowa City, State of Iowa, and providing for a publication of notice thereof. I'm going to open the public hearing. And would anyone like to address this topic from the public? If you're online, please raise your virtual hand. Seeing no one in person or online, I'm going to close the public hearing. Could I get a motion to approve, please?
So moved, Mo.
Second, Burgess.
Council discussion. Roll call, please.
Mo?
Yes.
Saleh?
Yes.
Teague?
Yes.
Alter?
Yes.
Sorry?
Yes.
Burgess?
Yes.
Harmson?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0. Item 10E, $1 million general obligation bonds, resolution instituting proceedings to take additional action for the issuance of not to exceed $1 million general obligation bonds of the City of Iowa City, State of Iowa. I'm going to open the public hearing. And would anyone from the public like to address this topic? If you're online, please raise your virtual hand. Seeing no one in person or online, I'm going to close the public hearing. Can I get a motion to approve?
So moved, Mo.
Second, Harmson.
Council discussion? Roll call, please.
Saleh?
Yes.
Teague?
Yes.
Alter?
Yes.
Burgess?
Yes.
Harmson?
Yes.
Mo?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0. 10F. $900,000 general obligation bonds, resolution instituting proceedings to take additional action for the issuance of not to exceed $900,000 of general obligation bonds of the City of Iowa City, State of Iowa. I'm going to open the public hearing. And would anyone from the public like to address this topic? If you're online, please raise your virtual hand. Seeing no one online or in person, I'm going to close the public hearing. Can I get a motion to approve, please?
So moved. Alter. Second, Fergus.
Council discussion? Roll call, please.
Teague.
Yes.
Alter.
Yes.
Fergus.
Yes.
Harmsen.
Yes.
Moe.
Yes.
Saleh.
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0. Item 10G is 2025 GO Bond Pre-Levy Authorization, GO Bond, resolution authorizing the issuance of $14,535,100 of general obligation bonds, Series 2025, and levying a tax for the payment thereof. Could I get a motion to approve, please?
So moved, Fergus.
Second, Mo.
All right. Anyone from the public like to address this topic? Online, please raise your virtual hand. Seeing no one online or in person, council discussion. Roll call, please.
Alter.
Yes.
Fergus.
Yes.
Harmsen.
Yes.
Moe.
Yes.
Saleh.
Yes.
Teague.
Yes. Motion passes 6-0. Item 10H, parking for people with physical disabilities. Ordinance amending Title IX entitled Motor Vehicles and Traffic, Chapter 4 entitled Parking Regulations, Section 11 entitled Parking for People with Physical Disabilities to define the required access aisle as a part of the parking space. This is first consideration. Can I get a motion, please?
So moved, Mo.
Second, Fergus.
All right, and welcome, Kent.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Kent Ralston, Transportation Planner. As many of you know, ADA accessible parking spaces include specific features such as marked access aisles that lead to curb ramps and help those folks parking in those spaces get to the facilities they need. This ordinance makes clear that the marked access aisle for an ADA accessible parking space is considered part of the actual parking space itself, and then the fines and tickets that are subject to the actual parking space itself also applies to that access aisle. There's some ambiguity in the existing code language, and this ordinance seeks to provide some clarity. So just a little bit of housekeeping in my mind. Happy to answer any questions you might have.
Has this been a problem? Has somebody done this in the past?
It has happened downtown, just up the street on Washington Street. Unfortunately, while I think the blue paint for the handicap stalls helps tremendously, I think it also maybe created some unintended consequences, and I think maybe folks don't realize that this access aisle is part of those. So it has happened, and it's a difference of either a $200 fine or, say, like a $20 fine for parking in a space you shouldn't be in. So having said that, I will say that they're all actual signed with a physical sign as well, and they're, I would say, pretty clear about where you should and shouldn't be parking. So
thank you for closing this loophole.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone from the public like to address this topic? If you're online, please raise your virtual hand. Say no one online or in person. Council discussion. I'll just say I think this is great that this was acknowledged. Individuals that have physical disabilities, they also need that space depending on if they have a wheelchair, van that they need to get out. So this is important that people do not park or, you know, anything in those spaces. So thanks for noticing and making this suggestion. Council, I guess we're going to go to roll call.
Fergus.
Yes.
Harmsen.
Yes.
Moe.
Yes.
Saleh.
Yes.
Teague.
Yes.
Alter.
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0. 10I, assessment schedule.
Did we make a motion on that before we voted? Did I just miss it?
We did.
Yes.
Okay. Councilor Moe made the motion, seconded by Councilor Fergus.
Yes.
Good checking. 10I, assessment schedule. Resolution adopting an assessment schedule of unpaid mowing, cleanup of property, snow removal, sidewalk repair, and stop box repair charges, and directing the city clerk to certify the same to the Johnson County Treasurer for collection in the same manner as property taxes. Can I get a motion, please?
So moved, Alter.
Second.
Second, Fergus.
All right. Y'all duked it out. I like it. All right. Public discussion. Anyone online like to address this? Please raise your virtual hand. See no one in person or online. Council discussion. Roll call, please.
Harmsen.
Yes.
Moe.
Yes.
Saleh.
Yes.
Teague.
Yes.
Alter.
Yes.
Fergus.
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0. Can I get a motion to accept correspondence?
So moved, Mo.
Second, Harmsen.
Roll call, please.
Mo?
Yes.
Sala?
Yes.
Teague?
Yes.
Alter?
Yes.
Burgess?
Yes.
Harmson?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0. We're on to announcements of vacancies previous. 11A, Civil Service Commission will vacancy to fill a four-year term, April 7, 2025 through April 1st, 2029. Community Police Review Board, one vacancy to fill an unexpired term. Housing and Community Development Commission, two vacancies to fill an unexpired term. Applications must be received by 5 p.m. Tuesday, March 25th, 2025. Airport Zoning Board of Adjustment, one vacancy to fill a five-year term. Airport Zoning Commission, one vacancy to fill a six-year term. Board of Appeals HVAC Professional, one vacancy to fill an unexpired term. Historic Preservation Commission Jefferson Street, one vacancy to fill a three-year term. Historic Preservation Commission Willon Avenue, one vacancy to fill a three-year term. Vacancies will remain open until filled. We're on to item number 12, which is City Council information.
I just wanted to say that the Historic Preservation Annual Awards was wonderful. I have meant to go there in the past, but finally made it this time, and it was truly lovely to see a community that put the elbow and love into it, the work, and the results were phenomenal. It was a really lovely award ceremony. Also, the mayor and I held a listening post at the public library, and while it wasn't jam-packed, it was steady, and we spoke with constituents the entire time. Topics ranged from actually the piece that we hopefully will get that IP memo on in the future, and the reparceling, rezoning for Governor and Dodge. We also, there was some inquiries about some tree removal down by the Iowa River around Highway 6 at the bridge. And then some questions about license plates and registration tags and the lack thereof.
Yes.
Why the police are not necessarily stopping people when that is showing. Oh, no, I think I covered it.
Yeah.
That was about it. But because there weren't a ton of people, we were able to have sort of in-depth conversations.
Yes.
To find out what concerns were. So that was good. Mm-hmm. Councilor Moe talked about the comprehensive plan. I did want to mention, actually, it's separate from city commissions, but I'm on the Iowa City Early Childhood of Johnson County. And it turns out, actually, it went to the state today. There is discussion, rather than it being so disparate among different counties, that it would move to districts and significantly consolidate and therefore make the Early Childhood Iowa boards much smaller in terms of quantity. It would be actually serving a large number of counties. And so there is some concern that you know, the specificity of each area locally is not going to be served as well. So just keep an ear and an eye out for that. We are going to be merging with a great number of other counties and areas, and Linn County in particular. You know, I think it's as part of the streamlining and trying to eliminate excess bureaucracy, but you know, as we know, sometimes one size fits all doesn't necessarily work. So that change is slated to happen a year from now, but there are some discussions about ways to continue to advocate at a very specific Johnson County level by looking at ways that we may be able to connect and merge some common interests with another nonprofit here in the county. So there'll be information on that, but we're hoping that we're still gonna be able to do things like car seat programs and helping with, you know, cribs and bed safety and just things that are local and necessary for our area by continuing on in a slightly different path than these larger merges. So I just wanted to let people know kind of what was going on with Early Childhood Iowa. That's it. Mm-hmm.
say thanks to the Johnson County United Nations Association for hosting the Night of 1,000 Dinners. I think I saw Councilors Burgess and Salah and Mayor Teague were all there. It was a wonderful meal, wonderful presentation, celebrating International Women's Day. Also wanted to thank my colleagues who took the time two weeks ago, to travel to Des Moines to speak against HSB 242. So I think it was important that you were there. So thank you very much for traveling. And I hope that the public got to see the statement that our whole council issued regarding that terrible bill. For those on the Economic Development Committee, we have a meeting coming up on April 2nd that I cannot attend. And I think our city manager will be reaching out for potential alternate dates. So it'd be easier to email you, but in the spirit of that even being a quorum email, I just will have our city manager take care of it.
Thank you, Councilor.
I just want to say to the Muslim community in Iowa City, happy Ramadan. I'm fasting. Please make it quick. Let's again. The sunset will be like 6:09.
7:09.
Thank you. 7:09, I mean.
The African American music.
And also, yeah, we have really great time. The mayor and I, we went to Cedar Rapids to visit the African American Museum. They have a new executive director. She's amazing. And yeah, it was really nice event. A lot of people come. It was nice. And the same day of the 1,000 dinner, we came from there to that one.
Congratulations to the Prusel School of Music, just celebrating their 50th anniversary. Mayor Teague and I were there for their presentation and a concert on Saturday night at the Englert with a former student who now is a world-renowned concert pianist, amazing, but started with them when he was 3, if I remember correctly, from their program. And so it was a very special night. So. Yeah.
All right, we're going to move on to item number 13, report on items from our city staff. City manager's office.
Nothing.
City attorney.
I'll just speak on behalf of several of the staff members seated over here. I'm glad to have reached the first funnel week. Looking forward to the second.
Yes. All right. And our city clerk office.
Mayor Teague already mentioned it, but I want to welcome the new deputy clerk, Yulisa Vargas.
Yes, wow.
Welcome, welcome. Absolutely. You must be a good luck charm because we're going to be getting out here soon. All right. Item number 14 is adjournment. Could I get a motion, please?
I would be happy to do that motion.
Second.
Moved by Salah, seconded by Burgess. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Good night, all.
Night.